Blog Talk Radio.
The blue skies go. Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be, oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby by the night. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more be used from man? Can't you stand?
Doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy. It takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star. She was very beautiful, leaving people in awe. Singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version. Hung with the wrong person, got a strong one at her when cocaine, sniffing up drugs, all in her nose. Could have died so young, now looks ugly and old. No fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep and the crowds you bring, cause they came to do drugs and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how. Put your hands in the air and take the vow. I know I can,
I know I can
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. Listen again. This is for grown-looking girls who's only 10. The ones who watch videos and do what they see. As cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID. Careful, before you meet a man with HIV. You can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey. Whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapist, so act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are. Give yourself time to grow. You're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys, you can use a lot of help, you know. You're thinking life's all about smoking weed and ice. You don't want to be my age and can't read and write, begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can.
I know I can.
Be what I want to be.
Be what I want to be.
If I work hard at it.
If I work hard at it.
I'll be where I want to be.
I'll be where I want to be.
Now, go. We came to this country. We were kings and queens, never porch monkeys. There was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded. They heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked. Slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He was in shock that the mountains were black faces. Shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow. They'll learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters, hoes. Read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing. Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen. I know I can.
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be.
Be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it.
If I work hard at it.
I'll be where I wanna be.
I'll be where I wanna be.
Save the music, y'all.
Good evening and welcome to Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Running a little late tonight, but better late than never. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Chef Paula Deen and her using of the N-word. Is it a big deal? Was she wrong? Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Also, the chat room is open. Feel free to use it. Your comments will be addressed as they come in. Also, if you call in, please press the number 1, and I'll know that you're in the queue and that you want to be part of tonight's discussion. Please be aware of any background noise such as dogs, cats, kids, TV, radio, people chit-chatting in the background. This is being taped, and I'm trying to get a clear taping for the replay. Again, our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. We're talking about Chef Paula Deen and her using of the N-word. Was she wrong? Or are people getting too upset? This is your opportunity to vent your view, your expressions, and how you feel about the whole thing. We're going to get started, and we're going to go to the phone lines in just a few moments. But I got to take a short break because I'm trying to put some things together here. So bear with me. We'll be back right after this.
We'll be right back. For years, black folks said America was the enemy. Now black folks leaving black folks dead in the streets. Exploit Trayvon Martin, cause he looks just like me. Engaging black on black crime, you consider a G. We cannot separate the real from the fake. I'm the shark, you the bait, only those real could relate. But sometimes I think we already chose our fate. But deep inside, I pray it's not too late. It's hard to see a black child killed by a black man. Then an older black man blame the white man. Young black man bang on the trigger, but all he wanna do is just kill another. Now I'ma sell out cause I speak the truth. The only reason why I rap to get this message to you. I don't know what else to do to get through. I made the first move, now it's all on you.
Children dying and people crying. What's going wrong, wrong, wrong in the world? Why are you trust when everyone around you lying? What's going wrong, wrong, wrong in this world?
You're listening to EIESOC. Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children here in Southeast Queens, New York. Tonight, we're talking about Chef Paula Deen and her using the N-word improperly with friends, whatever. Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. You know, my question for my listeners tonight and those who are calling in, was she wrong or are people getting way too over, upset over nothing? Our chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. I don't want to know what you feel, what your view is. Is it the same old, you know, no biggie? You know, I've heard stuff like, well, you know, the rappers use it all the time. They don't come under the scrutiny that she's come under. Even though, you know, personally, I would say that she was wrong for it, okay? And she apologized, which is all good, but, you know, I'm a believer of you apologize because you got caught, okay? If you didn't get caught, same old, and you had a lot to lose, and you did lose it. As far as I know, her contract with the Food Network is no longer in effect, all right? And some of her statements I really didn't approve of. I believe there was one where it was some type of affair where she wanted black folks to dress up as old servants from back in the day, you know, butlers and maids and what have you. And I didn't think that was appropriate at all. Again, our call-in number is 424-258-9271. We're talking about Chef Paula Deen and the using of the N-word. I'm waiting on the lines to fill up. I do got one or two callers that are waiting. I'm going to go right with the first caller who told me they just called to listen. Sorry, you press one, you in the queue. You don't get to listen. You get to speak, and I want to welcome this sister to the show, Sister Nicole. How
Hi,
are you, Sister Nicole?
Sorry.
Sorry, I put you on blast like that? Hey, yeah, I apologize.
I'm on the stage. I'm like, I came to listen and learn what was going on with this. Unfortunately, I've been working on my program that I'm running out of my community, and I've been a little disconnected, but I've been hearing some stuff, but I haven't really gotten a chance to get the full story.
Right.
Yeah, as well as, you know, going to school, finishing up my master's for policy administration.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's thank beautiful. You so much. Just on a general note, and I'm going to, like I said, I don't have too much knowledge about the story, but I will say something on a general note, being that you put me on blast. I want to say, you know, as Africans and African-Americans, blacks, whatever have you, whatever we want to identify ourselves as colored people, you know, I feel this is nothing new. We've been through this, one, right? This is my personal feeling. We've been through the name calling. We've been through, you know, being embarrassed and put down and what I would like to see from my people of color, that we've been going through this for 400 plus semi years, is the fact that if we're going to correct someone outside of our brand, we need to correct mm-hmm. ourselves. It's not okay for anyone to call us out of our name, regardless. That's even each other. I don't approve of anyone treating me that way. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what culture you are. And I am the type of person that I give balance. I'm not going to jump out the window and say, oh, because they're in mainstream media, she called him a nigga and wanted him to do this and wanted him to do that. Because for the simple fact is that I watch some shows and, you know, we have reality shows where we are just displaying ourselves. The truth.
I have to agree. Yeah.
Speaking of, like, if you're going to correct your counterpart, correct yourself so you don't be the reflection of the counterpart.
Exactly.
Not
knowing, I agree.
Said, and I'm not going to use that as an excuse to be apologetic about what I'm saying about us. I'm the type of person that I fix the person in the mirror. So when I check the other person, you best to believe you're looking at something total different. A total difference, a true demonstration of what humanity is.
Well, you know, Nicole, that is why I pose the questions. Was she wrong? Are we getting over upset over nothing? Because, you know, I wanted to hear what people said. I was wanted to see if anybody was going to say exactly what you just said. Okay, you know, before we go in and want to tell somebody else about their house, how's our house looking? You know, and our house is not that clean, okay, because we use this word very fluently, regularly, and, you know, we have justified the use of it, which I just don't understand that. Not when I know there's folks who died not to be called that name. Okay, and it was not, you know, it's just as if you call a Jew something other than a Jew, you're anti-Semitic. But with, you know, the N-word, it seems like we condone it. I mean, there's people who will say, oh, I don't like it, but we're condoning it.
Right.
And we've been looked at, well, y'all say it, so why y'all getting mad? Because somebody else said it.
Absolutely. And we haven't put ourselves in a position to be viewed as other than, excuse me for saying it, butlers, housekeepers, and whatever have you. We're the biggest consumers in the United States, first and foremost, and we don't own anything.
Right.
We buy up everything.
Right.
See, people need to do their statistics. See, a lot of people like to say the chosen few that have made it out to be in a position to own a little something, but we still, amongst even them being the chosen few that are entrepreneurs, that's probably making some a decent revenue to be identified as being, you know, valuable in regards to money, we are still the biggest consumers.
Exactly.
We're
exactly.
still the biggest consumers. You know, we need to be economically empowered, socially empowered. We need to be all these things if you want someone to identify you something other than what they see you as.
Exactly. And our behaviors play a big part. You mentioned the reality TV, what goes on in our community, in our homes, how we look, how we interact in society with folks who look at us like, you know, we're dangerous, you know, we're a wild race of people, you know, and that's, I know this is real stuff I'm saying, and maybe somebody that may be listening that may disagree, and it's okay, I wish you would call in, but, you know, I notice when folks come from, like, Africa, okay, blacks come from Africa, and they look at blacks here in the north, all right, and it's like, they already got a mindset of the type of folk we are. And all of us are not like that. We're not all on the in the negative zone. But it's already been perpetrated in their mind that you can't trust these cats here. These men and women here are wild. They're dangerous. They're killing each other. Okay. Meanwhile, all right, let me show you on the flip side. Africans come here with that mindset of us, but meanwhile, where they just left, the same thing is going on. Light-skinned blacks killing the dark-skinned blacks. All of that. All of that.
It's national.
Come here. Excuse me?
It's national. It's everywhere. It's not only in Africa.
Exactly,
you know, the sad part is
exactly.
It's everywhere. I take an urban community class towards my policy administration degree, and we have an African teacher. And he's from Nigeria. And, you know, I just want to say this because it's so imperative to being able to identify. You know, it's all about identity and being truthful to your identity so you can be able to fix what's wrong, what you're, you know, misperceiving. And we have a student in our class, and he went as far as saying out in the classroom that, how is this man going to come here? He's from Africa. How is he going to come to the United States and teach us about urban community, right? So that's the beginning of disrespect because you're disvaluing him, not understanding that in order for him to be to teach in the class, he has to have studied. He has to have taken necessary courses, and he has to have a degree, a master's degree in his field,
right? Exactly.
So, and I say that to say this. The most embarrassing part is that the school that I go to, the Dr. Hogan, who is the director of the school, she's, I guess she's Caucasian. I don't want to put it out there because she never revealed, you know, her background. I think she said she was Irish or something like that. Whatever the case may be is that she came into the class to give the whole class is black, okay? The whole class is African, black, whatever they want to call themselves. She came into the class to give us what I've seen as a lecture on how we should conduct ourselves and respect. Isn't that crazy? She came into an all-black class with an African-black professor to tell us how we should conduct ourselves and what respect is. She had to go as far as saying that it was very disrespectful because to question his credentials, his position as a teacher here, on urban communities, when urban communities exist nationally. How you not understand and know that on a college mastery level as black people? You know how embarrassing that was? And we have the audacity to tell the white man or Indian man or Asian man or Jewish man, woman, whomever, how we want to be treated when they don't even see that amongst your own people?
Yep. Pretty much. That's the reality.
I'm like, seriously, you all want to band together about someone calling you nigger, but when you turn on the TV, you guys are shooting each other and you don't even have tolerance for one another. But
exactly.
The police can come in and unjustly throw you up against the wall. You don't even know your rights, can search you illegally. It's called stop, question, and frisk. I'm so tired of people saying, oh, stop and frisk, stop and frisk. Know your rights. It's stop, question, and frisk. The illegal part is stop and frisk without the question.
Exactly. Exactly.
Stop allowing them to tell you these terminologies that you feel is so right, and you don't even know your rights, that the question is the part of it is your rights. In the Constitution, when they omit question, is when they are illegal. When they are illegal, performing illegal actions, it's not stopping frisk, people. What makes it legal is the question part.
I agree, but you know, a lot of folk just jump on the bandwagon because they feel it's profiling, okay, which, yeah, there is profiling involved in it, okay, you can't deny that, but they don't know this part that you just explained. They don't know that, you know, so people just jump on the bandwagon, oh, the stop and frisk, they, you know, we're being profiled, and that's wrong. At the same time, you know, my thing is, if I live in a community that gun violence is 24/7, and there's guns in my community, it's really hard to argue with stop and frisk. It's really hard to argue with that because our urban communities are filled with guns. So, you know, to me, it's like a catch-22. Like, because, all right, it doesn't stop and frisk. If you look at the statistics, the amount of guns that have been taken off the street behind it, the statistics are very low, very low. You know, still, they do practice it. You know, they're not going to give it up. I only thing I could suggest is, you know, if you're stopped, hopefully you got ID, hold your head, you know, ask questions, whatever's going on, and go on about your business. You know, with all of this other stuff, you know, wanting to be radical and carry on, you know, it might cause you to wind up in a jail cell for that night. You know, because
and that's
you didn't
the thing, because once you get fingerprinted, it's like, It's a wrap. But, you know, not to take it off the subject, I use that because the thing is that we've been going through this for so long, Tony. Like, this is nothing new to the black nation of people, okay, to the colored nation of people. It's nothing new. You are bickering over mediocre stuff when there are laws being put in place, legislation being put in place that are taking us back to 400 years ago. The only thing that's missing is the actual shackles and whips.
Well, they have a few things in place, okay?
You know, no, it's a lot of things in place. But what I'm saying is that you're worrying about her calling you nigger. You're not even worrying about the fact that there are laws put into place that's bringing us back 400 years that our forefathers, all of them, that fought for to bring us out of this circumstance and condition, not even circumstance, in these conditions that we are held in legally, legislatively.
Okay, but Nicole, guess what? Excuse me. How did these laws get passed?
You know, the sad part is these laws get passed when you have an absent community, when they set these institutions and they put government into place, the so-called help the poor, and they have more say on what is going on, and now you have an absentee of the people that fought for certain rights and recognitions, and now we are in place powerfully, but you have the absentee of the people. So when you don't have a balanced government system, then you have those that are considered the elite, that look like you, that are now seeing the benefits of exploiting and oppressing their own people. We've talked about this. So my thing is this. We think we've made it. That's the problem. See, they spoon-fed us. No disrespect to Obama, but every time they say, okay, Brown versus education, you can go to the schools like white people. But then what they do, they put schools in your area. You can go to those schools, the white, the Caucasians, or the elite, as shall I call them, they move out of your area. You have a whole bunch of kids that are going now to the schools in their area. They don't have to go abroad, you know, because it wasn't only about going to schools with white people. It was about also zoning. Okay, so
right.
Now you're going into schools in your area, and what they do, they dismantle your education system right in your area. They take black history out. Let me tell you something. The last time I saw history of colored people is when I was going to school. You know that inspired me? That inspired me to learn about my people. That inspired me to be more than what to be more than I am and to be somebody. You wondering why the urban communities today are not uprising? Because they don't see doctors and lawyers and cardiologists in their community. They don't read about them anymore. It's nothing but European study. How can a black child relate to someone European when they have not went through what we went through? They were the masters. They weren't the slaves that came up and become entrepreneurs and people who died and fought and became part of the political system to change things with the unity of the people.
Well, you know, Nicole, I understand exactly what you're saying. Okay. We were in the process of progress. Okay? We were definitely in the process of progress. Once certain events took place, such as, Dr. King and Malcolm and a few others were assassinated, we didn't, pick up the sword, pick up the flag, and march on. Okay, we didn't nurture the progress that was made.
Totally.
We became complacent. Hold on. We became complacent. We became complacent, and our unity started to disperse. In other words, there was no more unity. There was no more self-pride, self-love, self-respect. Okay, we let all of that go. In other words, we just forgot about the sacrifices that were made for the progress that came about behind it. And we became very complacent, very selfish, okay? Our unity just fell apart. We started going along to get along, So, as black folks, we got a big role in what has happened as far as what we're getting in schools and what have you, because we're not involved the way we should be involved. We're not involved. We sat back, and believe me, they knew we were going to do this. They knew they waited, and little by little, here we are. Here we are. We don't own our communities. People are profiting in our community who are not from our community. They come in, they set up shop, they don't hire from the community. And then you got to look at some of our local political leaders, okay? They don't do a whole lot for the community. Now, I don't fault some of the political leaders in the urban neighborhoods, because in order for them to do certain things in the community has to be in it with them. And it falls back to the community is not getting involved the way that they need to. They're not. They're just not. And the community is putting a lot of blame on some of the local leaders. Because you got some local leaders, they ain't worth nothing. But you got some that's like, I can't do this all by myself. Yes, y'all put me in the office, but I need your support. I need y'all to come out of some stuff. I need y'all to do. I need y'all to show up at these schools. If you want certain things, you got to show up. And we ain't showing up. But we'll get mad and want to make a scene or a ruckus when soon as we hear something like Paula Deen using the N-word.
Right.
Our priorities is twisted. Our priorities is real twisted.
And that
comes
from...
You said it. Looking in that mirror. We don't want to look in that mirror. We don't want to look in that mirror and get honest with who's in that mirror. And tell who's in that mirror the honest to God truth. We would rather keep putting it on oppression and Willie Lynch and all this stuff, which is, okay, I'm not saying it's not prevalent, but come on, we got the awareness to know that, listen, we can overcome that if we want to. We can get rid of this learned helplessness. We can get rid of that if we want to. It's like, what do we really want to do? Have we given up on ourselves, our children, our communities? I think we have.
I just feel like, when this is, and I had it all together, it kind of slipped. But I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna, step back and let probably somebody else talk. What I'm gonna say is this, the Malcolms, and yeah, they was murdered, but the thing is that it's not that we have dropped the ball in a sense of, going forth with what they were doing. It's the sense that It's a twofold. The government has made us feel like we made it. When they started saying, okay, you can get a job here as well. You can get a city job. You can become a political elected official. You can get certain things, and then we've become, how can I say, delusional about who we are to them and what position we really hold. And then when you have those elected officials that get into office and they decide that, okay, the community doesn't want to come out, they're no longer educated, because there has been a transition. There has been a transition from us being very involved and educated and being able to access information to us not being very involved, uneducated, and not able to access information, because, one, information is not dispersed like that to us. We no longer go out and seek and research information to be involved. And then when you have an elected official in office who sees that, you know, it's the benefits of oppressing a people. It's not the fact that we're the only ones oppressed, because, again, like I said online, it's the survival of the fittest today. People need to understand the turn of events, the real evolution. It's about the elite. It's about the survival of the fittest. It was about the weak who's preyed upon, and who has always been determined as the weak, and always has rose to the occasion of being determined as the weak. Colored people. Because we're always looking for someone to tell us what to do instead of doing what we need to do. See, it wasn't a fact of progress. It was a fact of being scared of change. See, we was moving towards change. Flipping the coin.
Well, let me say this, Nicole. Let me say, okay. We live, you know, as far as information, we live in the information age, okay? You can use your cell phone to get information, okay? But people are not using the technology that we have. See, there's just no reason not to know some stuff, because you can find out just about anything, all right? This is the society we live in. We're not using that. Our focus is on materialism and a lot of nonsense. You know, we're falling for the distractions, okay? And I gotta tell you, you know, this is just for me. I don't blame white people for where we at as African Americans, because we got a bigger role than a lot of folks want to admit. You know, they were talking about Bill Cosby the other day, and what Bill Cosby, and as far as I'm concerned, all Bill did was, you know, he wasn't talking about all African Americans, but he was talking about those who need to really get themselves together. They need to get their act together. And folks were very critical of him. And it's like, you know, wait a minute. Truth is truth. I don't care how you slice it. Truth is truth. Okay? And we have issues with the truth, okay? We have succumbed to our conditions, and it's nobody's fault but our own. We want to rally and make noise when in situations like Chef Paula Deen, Trayvon Martin, which we should rise on stuff like that, or when, you know, somebody of another race calls us the N-word again. And again, we want to make noise, but meanwhile, we got young rappers on your radio every day calling your mama, your sister, whoever, excuse my mouth, a bitch in every other record. They're talking about slinging guns, selling drugs, and a lot of false dreams, okay? And we ain't making no noise about that. We're not making no noise about that. That they're exploiting our young children, okay? You got people videotaping fights and posting it, you know, at different websites. You know, this is us doing this. Hey, white people, this is us doing this.
Absolutely.
You know, and where we need to be economically, it takes education. And we can change education for us if we want to. We're not trying to do that. I really feel we live in a European society, here in America. So you need to know the European education. At the same time, you definitely need to know your history. You definitely need to know. But to function in this country, you got to know the European educational system. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line.
Well, you have to know what put you under this type of system and how this system came to be. That's first and foremost. But you cannot omit, the one thing I noticed is you cannot omit the black history, because that's involved in every system around the world. System exists because of us.
Okay,
civilizations came to be because of us. We was the first with Africans have was the first ones that had a form of civilization and systems, right? But in order for our children to identify themselves with greatness, is what I'm saying, with greatness.
I know I'm not in disagreement with you at all, Nicole. I think what you're saying is right on point.
I know we both are in agreement, and I mean, I couldn't agree with you more about we're being and moaning, you know, about someone calling us nigga, but yet and still when you're listening to your very own talk about how you don't have and he has and what he'll do to you, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I was in the barbershop. I'm going to give you one more example, guys. I was in a barbershop. You know what barbershops are for us. You know, I took my son. You know what barbershops are for the men. You know, y'all go around. It's just like the beauty salon. Let me tell you the most amazing thing said to me by a black brother. He said that it was a woman for, like, Rihanna. They was talking about Rihanna dating Chris Brown and Drake. And it was her fault that Drake slept with her. That, you know, that Drake slept with her, knowing that was Chris Brown's girl. He's saying to himself, you know, none of my friends or my family members owe me any respect because I expect them to sleep with my woman. So I'm not mad at him for sleeping with her. I'm mad at her. You know how crazy that was? I was, and this is a man of knowledge of self. This is, we're not talking, you know, some people have the illusion of knowledge. Those are the most dangerous people, those that think they have knowledge and they really don't. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, so you mean to tell me that your friend that you've known for a long time or your cousin or your uncle, if he was to sleep with your wife, you wouldn't be mad at him? You would be mad at your wife? Only. Let me put only in there.
Well, let me say
that's the way we have no balance.
Let me say this. Okay, this, what you just said to me,
is not surprising.
It's not surprising to me at all, okay? Because, as a man, I've heard this says, a man's going to do what a man's going to do. He didn't put no gun to her head, and she's grown. And see, I look at it as like, well, don't you got some kind of integrity? Knowing that man's wife, woman, girlfriend, whatever the case may be, where you go, you know what? Out of self-respect, I won't touch that.
Okay.
Out of self-respect, I won't touch that. But I got to tell you, a lot of men don't function like that.
Furthermore, how are we looking? This is what I'm saying. I say that to say this to whomever's listening. How are we expecting unity in the community, cohesiveness and harmony, when you expect your brother to disrespect you? We're talking about taking further than the self-respect. We're talking about respecting your brother. Am I not my brother's keeper?
Like I said.
The triflingness, even if it, it's both parties' fault. But even so, if you wouldn't even put her on blast to make her feel less than a woman so she'll know what being a woman is about? I see that to say this. Like, you want people to respect us and we don't even hold ourselves to certain standards and principles to each other?
Unfortunately, in certain circles, no, we don't. No, we don't because... we have this one narrow view. This one, like the brother said, I expect it. Well, these are the type of people that you got in your circle. And for me, if I expect my friend, now he's a friend, I expect him to sleep with my woman, then he's not my friend. He's just an associate. Okay, he's not my real friend, because real friends don't get down like that. I mean,
men shouldn't
I know
get down
women,
like that. Women, my thing is, if I know you're married.
Hold on. I know women, okay? I know women that, you know, say I was going out with their friend, and me and the friend, okay, we're not seeing each other no more, okay? And say if I said to this woman, like, you know, well, let's hang out, you know, she's my ex's friend. And they've told me, no, I can't do that, you know, that's my friend, you know, and I don't rock like that, you know. But on the other hand, men do it, and yes, some women do it also. But the point that you're making here is we don't have respect for ourselves, therefore we act out and justify it, just like you explained it. Okay, and that's wrong. That's wrong. The way I would see it is wrong. But some folks see it as like it's okay. You don't understand. All right. Well, you know. I guess maybe I don't understand your view, but I understand my view real clearly. Listen, Nicole, don't go away. I got another call on the line. I want to get this caller in. So stand by. Hold on, okay?
All right.
I didn't get a chance to screen this call, but I'm going to bring the caller in anyway. That's caller. I'm going to say your first area code is 717. Last four numbers is 3890. Good evening, caller. Who am I speaking to?
Mike in Pittsburgh. How you guys doing?
Oh, good evening, Mike. Welcome to tonight's discussion. We're talking about Paula Deen using the N-word. Was she wrong? Are people getting upset over nothing? What's your view tonight?
Well, here's my thoughts. Of course she's wrong. As far as, like, her product goes, I go more by the product. If I like it, like, say it's a food or a show or something. I'm not someone that boycotts stuff. I mean, I can just look at it like, you know, look at Kim Kardashian on TV. I mean, she's no role model to any girl, but, you know, they idolize her, and you know she's doing wrong, but, you know, you still support the product. So, I kind of go, if I like the product, I kind of just overlook everything else because, you know, most people, a lot of things are going on that you don't know anyway. You see where I'm coming from?
No. Where are you coming from, Mike? Explain to me.
Well, no, I'm just saying if you like the product, like if you like her food or something, are you going to boycott her food or you just don't want to see her anymore? Like, I don't want to see her on TV personally, but if I liked, you know, her recipes or whatever, then I would still probably eat them. I wouldn't not use a product just because of, you know, her ignorance. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Oh, okay, man, I got you. Well, you know, I guess that's an individual thing. You know what I mean? They like the product, but they disapproved of her behavior, but they still like the product. I mean, if they would still want to buy the product, that's their prerogative. You know what I mean? And you can't. I don't think you can fault the person for that. You know, I guess it's individuals. Values and morals. That's the way I see it. You know.
Okay. Just one final comment. And it's the Trayvon Martin case, real quick.
Your
opinion. Obviously, if anybody watched the trial today, you know, the defense actually started off terrible. The lawyer made a terrible joke. The prosecution came out strong, in my opinion, and it's going to be an uphill case for the defense. But my question for you, sir, is let's say somehow this, you know, George Zimmerman were to get off and be, you know, not guilty. What would, you know, the reaction be? Would you foresee like a Rodney King type of reaction, or do you think a lesser degree? Just your opinion. I'm kind of curious.
Well, my view, okay, you mentioned a Rodney King reaction. That could happen, or we could get something less, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would go 50-50, okay? There's been shootings of African Americans across the country, unarmed by police and others, and very few have went to prison. Very few have went to prison. And, you know, I really believe that African Americans here have become accustomed to not getting justice. So you may get a Rodney King reaction. You may get something less. I don't know. I know there will be some kind of reaction. Some kind of reaction.
I don't think he's going to get off.
I think he's going to be prosecuted to the fullest and that he's going to go to prison. You know, he needs to.
It comes down to this to me. If they can, the key piece of evidence is the call with the screams in the background. If they can, say that was Trayvon Martin, you know, screaming, then it's a slam dunk case of utility, because obviously no matter how the incident happened, the George Zimmerman just took it to the next level, because I think he was looking for a fight anyway, no matter what Trayvon Martin was doing in the area or not. But it's just kind of curious to me, because there's so much media attention on it, and there's just going to be a huge build-up to the verdict that, you know, you're going to see a lot of, emotions, you know, on either side of the fence that you're looking at. But, hey, I appreciate the time, and you have
a
great show. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate you calling in. Listen, as far as the media, you know, through the years, and I've been paying attention, and I don't know if you're familiar with this guy, Ted Koppel. Okay, he's not on TV like he used to be, but he said this a long time ago, a few years ago, that there is no more journalism. It's nothing but sensationalism, and I have to agree with him. Okay, I have to agree with him to the fullest. The media is going to really blow this thing up, okay, because right now, you know, it's like the movie of the week, okay, and this is what the media does. Bottom line, you know, they're waiting for reactions. They got it already set up of how they're going to deal with the verdict. It's already set up. You know, I just hope that, you know, justice prevails, and that Trayvon Martin's family, you know, they get some justice. I truly hope so, you know, and I just leave it, you know, in the hands of those who are going to call the shots. That's the bottom line. But again, Mike, I appreciate you calling in. Come back anytime. You're always welcome. Listen, you're listening to EIE, SOC Blog Talk Radio. Call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. We're talking about Paula Deen using the N-word. Was she wrong? Or are people getting upset over nothing? We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I know you love me. I can tell by the way that you kiss me. Tight when you hug me. Took me to school the very first day. Gave me a piece of buttercup. Sent me on my way. I know it's frightening. I can tell by the pain in your eyes. When the rent was late again. Too strong to fold. Being on your own. Lord bless the soul. Mama knows love.
Mama do love like the backbone. Used to fall asleep daily in the work zone. Mama swear you never have to worry again.
Mama, I swear you never have to worry, no, no.
Mama do love like the backbone.
Mama knew love.
Used to wipe feet just to make the ends meet.
Oh, no.
Mama swear you never have to worry again.
A bright and early, right. Scrambled eggs, right. Swelling in your legs, right. Bills on the bed, still your man is right. Show me a smile, right. Then walk to work about right. 2 or 3 miles. Mom, I'm gonna struggle with you. I'm gonna help you see the bigger picture.
You gave me something no one can take away. You make it so easy to say, I love you, mama.
Mama, new love, like
a mama, new love.
Used to fall asleep daily in the
work.
Mama, you never have to worry.
You never have to worry again. Mama, I love you. Yeah, yeah.
Mama, new love, like
mama,
a back
mama, new love.
Used to fight me just to make the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, yeah,
mama,
yeah.
You never have to worry again.
No, no.
Mama knew love.
See, mama knew love.
She gave me love.
Crazy love.
Crazy love.
Crazy love.
So love.
Mama knew love.
Mama knew love.
Official gleam so sweet, but soon to switch to bitter. Cause when she reaches 16, she'll be considered a piece of meat. not a tree for the trick to second showers. People kick last days, we in the last hour. Minutes and seconds, I reckon it won't be long. To record it, ways of striving will be dead and gone. But this Lord's coming through, despite who try to see me. These brothers are too hard, sisters are too easy. Sleep.
Trying to please me with that sex appeal. When you're living out the ghetto, man, you got to deal. Brothers scatter from the function when they spot the steal. Weapons get concealed when it's plots to kill. The dorm wall up in the party because this rock is real. Niggas ain't stopping the things, so they ain't gonna stop the violence. Music too loud to hear some Dougie Fresh stay silenced. Through the projects, they Terminator X buck violence. I'd rather take it easy, keep it breeze like the island.
Revolutionize, we deep and complex, so don't offend. 9 times out of 10, men and women pretend. Immobilized, devil allies, fight for solidarity, the water tight. But everything in life has a price. Love, black, bury my lasses. So smart, so stupid, hard head, create soft asses.
So like molasses, that's how you move, and how we prove with that. Come with the full pack to keep it native. Like tongues, we run the licking for all your earth spitting. Can't write without that excite, but when you come down, your shit is unfound, you ground. Sound a week like Monday through Sunday, you figure one day, you'll play the roles of masterpiece to fill them seats. And I'm out like Reese to get some Reese's Pieces.
You're listening to EIE, SOC Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Tonight, we're talking about Chef Paula Deen using the N-word. Was it racist? Was she wrong? Are people getting a little too upset over nothing? Is it the same old, same old? This is what we're talking about tonight. Calling number is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. Or you can leave comments in the chat, in the chat room. And I'll read them off as they come in and try to respond or get some response from some of our callers. While I'm waiting on the phone lines to fill up, I just came across an article where one of Paula Deen's employees said he was called, or she was called, My Little Monkey by one of Paula Deen's family members. I mean, is this really surprising? Is this really surprising? You know, racism is overt in America. Okay, and especially since we have an African-American family living at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So I'm not really surprised or taken aback or anything of that nature, because ever since President Obama has occupied the White House, racism has reared its head time and time again. Okay, it's not like it's just coming out. It's always been there. It's just today it's more overt. Okay, this is the times that we live in, and I just think we need to get used to it, that it's not going anywhere. And as far as the N-word being used, that's not going to stop either. Okay, that last song I just played, it was used in that song a few times, and but there was a message in there. I don't know if anybody heard it, but there was definitely a message in there. The N-word, for me, we have let it go too far. We have let it go too far. It's all right to say in music. It's used in a lot of different ways. It's spelled in different ways, you know, N-I-G-G-A. You know, we hear it all the time. We hear it all the time. If you're living in urban communities, you go anywhere, to a store, wherever you may go, around the corner, you hear it, it's used. Okay? People of other races use it addressing each other. Okay? The word is not being addressed the way it should be addressed, therefore, it's not going to stop. it is not going to stop. I think a couple of years ago, there was some type of action that was supposed to be taken to stop the N-word from being used, and as you can see, it has not stopped, and it's not going to stop. But the bottom line, I can understand folks being upset about it and don't like it, you know, and we should not use it amongst ourselves, and we should not accept anyone else addressing us by that, especially if they're not African American. But, you know, it's hard to really get angry in an uproar when you have us using it amongst ourselves and condoning it and rationalizing it. You know, that's where we're at fault. And I think we really need to clean up our act before we can really make sufficient noise and take actions to stop it from being said. You know, I don't see where she is going to stop using it, because, of course, she's made a tape. You know, Chef Paula Deen made a tape apologizing and asking for forgiveness, and all that's good, you know. But at the same time, she's not going to stop using it, you know. She's just going to watch her surroundings when she uses it. You know, from what I understand, she was out eating, having a conversation, and she was using the word, you know, very loosely, and there was no problem. You know, anybody who's fooled by the fact that that word is not used by those celebrities, big or small, and you got to be kidding yourself. You got to be really kidding yourself if you really think that word isn't used. It's used all the time. Sometimes it's used to attack, and then, you know, we're saying it's a form of endearment. Well, you can call me something else besides that. That's the way I look at it. You know, we have other terms that we can use that we don't need to use that. It was a time we called each other brother or sister, you know, and we were practicing not using that word. We were getting away from it. And then, you know, somewhere along the line, our progress stopped and it became okay to say to each other. You know, look at our music today. It's all through the music, you know. And we're not boycotting. We're not saying, no, you can't use that word. You know, the companies that dish out these contracts to the artists who use this word in their music, it's okay. But you can't say anything that's, you know, offensive to Jews or any other nationality, but it's okay to use the N-word. We can choose something about it, but we're not doing anything about it. You can bet if rappers start saying things about Jews, or, all right, let's go with the gay thing, all right? They start going at gays hard and Jews hard and other folks hard. There's going to be some action taken. We're not taking any action over the N-word. We're not taking any action over our women, you know, the B-word being used. We're not, you know, we're just going along like it's okay, you know, and it's like not good for us. That's not a good look. Not a good look. There's a song out right now. Wow, there's a couple of lyrics I know. Something about, I got some good cushion alcohol and some down you know what I can call. And it's a very popular song. Very popular song. And there's nothing in that song that's respectful. Nothing in that song is respectful. And do we make any noise about it? No. But we'll make some noise about Chef Paula Deen using the N-word. Something is wrong with that kind of thinking. That's all I can really say. Listen, if you're listening, our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. I'll bring you in on the discussion. You can give your view, your disagreement, your agreement. Now is your chance. We have about 15 minutes or less left in the show. I don't know what happened to all the folk who said they were calling in tonight. I don't know. Maybe they didn't know the show was tonight. But there were a bunch of comments left earlier today. I'm going to try to read a few, you know, because some of them are kind of long. And let me see. I got one comment here that says, you know, oh, get over it. You know, what she said. I use the word Ofay all the time, you know. And they also said, do I like her using it? No. But there are too many other things to think of, like she pays her employees more than, okay, she pays her white employees more than her black ones, okay? Then she says, you know, I remember when Jesse Jackson got busted for saying President Obama was talking down to niggas, okay? And that's worse than the good old Southern girl saying, okay? I don't get that last part. But I see her point she's making here. You know, what's the biggie? That's exactly what she's saying. You know, what's the biggie? Are we making enough noise, just as I just said, about when we use it? Okay, and we use it real loosely. Real loosely, you know. So do we have the right to get upset? 424-258-9271, let me know. Do we have the right to be upset? Or are we getting upset over nothing? I'm going to go back to my caller. She called back in. There was someone else on the line. I don't know what happened to them. But I'm going to go back to her, and that's Sister Nicole. Sister Nicole, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know where to... gentleman that came in after me, I must say, you know, if someone is derogatory towards me and show me verbally that they don't have no respect for me, then no, I don't like your product either. And I'm surely
okay.
not going to support you with my money, so you can then have more ratings and more airtime to feel the way you feel towards me, and I'm supporting you. That's just like, I mean, you might as well put shackles on me and put me in the field.
Okay, well,
personal,
you know,
opinion.
That's your view. That, you know, that's your view. I mean, I think he asked a legitimate question. You know, I just got a comment here on Facebook, and Sister Tony, you know, she said, her name is Nicole. She said she struggled with people who are upset stating the N-word and is a racial slur, but will call their own son it, and the mindset that it is not racism if you own it. And she says, I'm not owning ignorance. I pretty much agree with that.
Well, that's what we've been saying from the door. But I will say this. If we want anyone to respect us as a group, a nation, a race of people, we're not talking about individually, okay? We have to stand together and stand up for what's right by our culture. We have to demand that respect like the Jews did. Every culture went through some type of every culture went through some kind of racism. Let's put it that way. Every culture went through some type of, you know, the Jews went through Holocaust. The Indians went through their own oppression. We've all went through some type of, you know, discrimination, racism, prejudice. But the point of the matter is that other cultures still stuck together and still stood up together for what they believe in. They're not going to support something of yours if you're derogatory towards them, or if you have some type of ill feelings about them, or, you know, you feel some type of way about their people and their culture. This is how cultures excel. I really believe that education is the best. Education is the best to give you a level playing field where you can understand what type of condition, how we are perceived by other cultures in today's world, and how these things come about, the ideologies, the philosophy, you know, the institutions, the political structure, how these things all come about. And in addition to, not only read up on your people and your culture, but you have to read up on other cultures, how other groups of people, nations of people, have risen above oppression, have risen above prejudice. And trust me, it wasn't because of one individual here, and it surely wasn't because they have supported their oppressors. I can guarantee you that.
Wow.
The Jews support the Jews. When the Asians come up in here, you don't see not one black person working, or Caucasian for that matter, or Indian working in their stores.
That's true. That is true. At least in my neighborhood, I see that. You know, I'm gonna run off a comment here. This is from Monique. She says that she's more offended by black people who use the N-word. You know, she says she doesn't care that it has supposedly taken on a new meaning or slant. We know the negative connotations that have been and still are associated with it. My sons and their friends use it. Much to my irritation, and as much as they try to explain it away to me, I still hate the way it's become the norm. You know,
I agree. I just don't like when anyone say it. I don't care who you are. Okay? That's just like calling me the B word. Whenever you call me out my name, especially in regards to how you feel about, because when someone called one, see, the difference is that when they call the individual a nigga, they're not calling just that person a nigga. They're talking about your people. You see, we personalize it. Oh, they call him a nigga. No, that's how they feel about you as a nation. And the problem is that we don't see ourselves as one.
Exactly. You know, that's a big point you're making there. We're not, you know, we're on this individualism type thing, and we need to get away from that.
Yeah, you know, it's toxic. And you know,
we really need to get away from that.
You said something so great.
That's one of our biggest problems. Great. I'm sorry.
No, I said you said something so great. You know, yeah, there has been systems put in place. You know, philosophies put in place to separate the people. But then there comes a time, like in the Bible said, once you was a baby, you drink milk. Once you're an adult, you eat meat.
Mm.
I can digest when you're playing a role in your own imprisonment. You a slave to yourself. And I'm going to say it again to our people. The reason why we haven't risen above, because yes, we are the chosen black Jews. Yes, we are the original people. But the reason why we have not risen above as a people is because if the shoe was on the other foot, would you be a master? Would you be an oppressor? Ask your question. Like, will you be any different? You know, they fear is not the fact of you rising. They fear is the fact of you being in their shoes and them being in yours.
Well, you know, Nicole, I said that months ago. And I don't know if anybody heard me, but I said exactly what you said. Okay? Let me tell you, you know, I don't know, some of us, either we're not getting it, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, the Obamas being in the White House is a biggie. That's frightening to a certain part of America, okay? If they catch on, oh my God. If they catch on, oh my God.
Let me
say something. We got to keep them distracted. We got to keep them going at themselves. okay? And it's working. We falling for it. It's working. Because I got to tell you, Nicole, and I wrote this. This is our time, and we blowing it.
Every
we
time.
Got a family sitting. Hold on. We got a family. We got a family sitting in a house. They said we was never going to sit in, baby. Okay? And
let
we
me
did. We
no.
built, hold it. We hold it. We built it. Now we occupy it. Okay? Obama, President Obama and Michelle Obama, okay, they didn't come from rich backgrounds. They did the work. They did the work. And that work got them all the way to the White House. Okay? You don't think there's another President Obama or Michelle Obama in the wings? Sure.
Let me explain something to you. We've been in the wings. You know what it was? Let me explain something to you. Know when it's a setup, too. When you go, they want to show you just how not different you are. When you step out your door, first of all, when you have a president of your brand at the seat of the throne and you're not in position, you're not in position to sustain what has been accomplished. We have not gotten anywhere. We've been in position. How many of our forefathers died to put us right where we belong? We already were supposed to be running the White House. The point of the matter is what they go to show you is when your people are being exposed as corrupt politicians, it's showing you you're not any different from us.
Yeah, well, you know,
let me explain something to you, brother. Let me explain something to you, brother. People came out in record numbers for Obama. Not just black, white, not just white, Asian, not just Asian, Hispanic. People all over the world. When you ask us, our brand, why we went out and voted? Because he was black. Not understanding that you are not even in the political, economic, or social strengthening, powerful position to take advantage of a black president being in office.
Ooh, let me read this comment.
To maximize and excel.
Hold on. I got to read this comment real quick. Okay, it's a sister in the chat room, and she's saying you're making valid points, number one. And something about, you know, they do not fear that, but blacks have proven to be more empathetic to the survival of white folks. Blacks feel guilty to be respected or demanded. Ooh, okay, sister. Wow.
Absolutely. Okay, oh. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. She just summed it up in a nutshell. Let's not get it. I tell people, let me explain something to you. I'm not the average, and this is why I guess God's prepping me slowly, because I say this, and I say this with meaning. You know, I'm a revolutionist. So I want people to read in between the lines when it comes to that. You understand? I don't follow the status quo. I'm here to break the mold. I'm here to be honest to my people. I'm a community confronter.
Okay, and you know what, I love every bit of it. You know, we need more of you, sister. Okay, we need more of you. Listen, it's 9:30. Someone else just came on the line, and then the call dropped. I don't know, they can't get back in. We're still recording, we're not live, but we are still recording. So, you know, you can't call in. But Sister Nicole, I want to thank you for calling in and giving me some support tonight. I don't know what happened to the others, because quite a few folks said they wanted to come in on this discussion tonight. Perhaps they couldn't for whatever reason. But I got a show coming up. My next show will be probably Thursday night. And the title of the show is, Do We Have Real Activists? Or do we have those who are just acting as if? So please tune in, okay? I don't think this is going to be very interesting, all right? But again, thank you for calling in and giving your view. Always a pleasure having you with us. And I'm going to close us out. So, again, thank you, and you have a blessed
night. Thank you. Good night, brother.
All right. Good night. You've been listening to EIESOC Radio, Blog Talk Radio, rather. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, based here in New York, Southeast Queens area. You can find us on Facebook, or you can go right to our website. That's Enough is Enough, SaveOurChildren.org. Listen, we have so much going on in our communities that I got to say the use of the N-word is the least of our problems. Our young adults and youth, troubled youth, are gunning each other down consistently on a 24/7 basis. As a community, as a people, it's time to wake up, stand up, and step up. Time to show up for life and stop showing up for death. Our children need us in a mighty way. We are failing our young people because we're not stepping up. We cannot afford to succumb to the conditions of our communities held under siege by gun violence. It's time to get involved. It is time to make a commitment, a selfless commitment, to help save our children. The cavalry's not coming because we are the cavalry. It's time to start being accountable. It's time for unity. Unity is the master key that will unlock the locks of self-pity, oppression, the Willie Lynch syndrome, learned helplessness. Unity is the key that will unlock all of it. It is truly up to us to change the conditions of our community, to change the rules on the street. Too many children are dying from bullets that are not meant for them. Time for us to start spreading some love. It's time for us to start reaching out to those that are out there, in it, the gang members, everybody. Time to save some lives. We cannot afford to give up hope. It is not hopeless. We can do it if we want to. Our conditions are worsening. The prisons are filling with our children, and so are the graveyards. Funeral parlors are getting rich behind the deaths of African American troubled youth and young adults and young children who are being slayed by bullets not meant for them. Come on, y'all. Make a commitment. Get involved. Get involved. It's time to make donations of your time, yes, and your money, because funds are needed to make things happen. It's time to support your activists in your area, your organizations in your area. And can I ask all the activists and organizations to form a coalition wherever you may be, because here in New York, that is my mission right now. I am out to form a coalition, an action by any means necessary to bring peace to the streets. This is everybody getting together for one agenda, to save our children. This is not about individualism. This is not about we need this leader or that leader. What we need is us. That is what we need. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner things will begin to change. If you want no violence and you want to know peace, that's K-N-O-W, deuces, you have to get involved. Listen, my name is Tony Nix, again, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, based here in New York City. Listen, y'all, lives are at stake, and if no one told you today, God loves you, and so do I. I'll talk to you guys real soon. Have a good night.
you, don't care what the weather, don't care about no trouble, got my stuff together. I've been a kind of protection that's all around. I've come a far, babe. I've been for real, babe, with the trouble man. Check the troubles, you have moved.